Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Joni Mahan story. Joni Mahan has lived a haunted life since early childhood. She grew up seeing shadows move on her bedroom wall, hearing voices and an unexplained ringing that no one else could ever hear. After being told she was just imagining things, she was able to shut down her sensitivity, only for it to turn back on in her late teen years. Eventually, Joni moved into a home with her then husband, only to find that the ghost of an angry old man wanted nothing to do with them. From there, her life would have a major focus on the paranormal and a mission to discover who and why these entities view her as a target.
Well, I was born a sensitive, and I didn't really know it at the time. I just knew that I was feeling things that were unusual. I can remember this as young as being 5 or 6 years old. My mother would put me to bed, and she'd turn the light out and shut the door, and I would get a sense of fear. And it was coming from the feeling that I wasn't alone, and I would start to see the shadows on the wall move and the sense that someone was watching me. And that kind of escalated throughout most of my childhood. I also began to realize I was hearing a tone similar to ear ringing. And sometimes it was more of a staticky sound than it was like a clear bell sound. And I can remember asking another child that when I was about maybe 9 or 10 if they could hear that same sound that I was hearing. And they kind of looked at me like I was very strange and said, no, I don't hear anything. But the sound also came accompanied by the sense that someone was there, someone was watching me. I could feel that sensation of not being alone. And I did manage to shut it down for a lot of my life. I think I didn't really truly understand what it was, but I did have a paranormal experience pretty early on in my youth that made me realize that what was happening to me wasn't happening to other children.
What was that experience?
Well, we had just moved into a house that my father had actually built, and it was located on 40 acres of woodland. So really nobody had ever lived there or built a house there. It had always been in the woods. And I always had a sense that there was something in the upstairs, especially at the landing. If you stood at the base of the stairs, the staircase was really dark, and there were no windows at the top because the house was an A-frame, so it only had windows at the front and the back. So the inside of the house was pretty dark, and I was always so terrified to go up those stairs. And sometimes at night, I felt like something kept coming in through my bedroom door and looking at me. And I started sleeping with a nightlight because I was terrified of the dark by this point, because bad things seemed to happen at night. And one night I had this dream that I had been having reoccurringly for several nights in a row, where I was in the woods being chased by a tall, thin man, almost a hat man or slender man, if you will. And he finally chased me to an old barn, and near the old barn was a ski lift that went up into the woods or went up into a mountain. And I got on there thinking I was going to get away from him. And then he was right there in my ear, and he was telling me, come with us, or we're going to take your family one by one. We'll start with your little sister, and we'll take your mother, and then we'll take your father. And then I woke up, and as I woke up, I could see a misty shape in my doorway to my bedroom. And it came closer and closer and closer. And when it got right to me, I was finally able to scream. And I screamed for my mother. And then it just vanished and disappeared. So I had other experiences growing up in that house and had them later as an adult as well. So there's definitely something at my dad's house. It doesn't bother them, but it certainly hones in on me every time I go over, even now as an adult.
As a child, when you had that dream and then you had that experience subsequently, right after waking up, did you share that with your parents at the time?
I was a very imaginative child, and they often just dismissed it, telling me that it was either just a dream or it was my imagination, that there was no such thing as ghosts, go back to bed. So I really didn't have much support back in those days.
And how did that affect you when you would express these things that you knew were not just your imagination? Because I can imagine, or I would assume that you could tell the difference between when you were imagining things or playing, you know, pretend, versus when you were having an experience that others would write off as imagination. How did you take that when it was essentially dismissed?
I just stopped talking about it, stopped sharing what I was feeling, because I knew that the outcome would always be the same. Yeah. And it was probably a lot of fear-based, because maybe, you know, maybe there was a part of them that knew or thought I might be feeling something, but didn't want to acknowledge it. I don't know. Now my parents fully believe in what I do. Mm-hmm. I've had them both on investigations with me, and they've listened to my EVPs and experienced things themselves, so it's a different story now. But back in those days, the really paranormal world wasn't discussed.
Sure.
And if you did, you were labeled as crazy. So I just kind of tamped down on it and tried not to let it impact me.
Did they have any experiences looking back at that house that would have been classified as paranormal that maybe they shared later in life, or that they didn't, or they kind of dismissed or ignored until some of these things kind of came out later?
Yes, when I was a teenager, I moved back into the same house with my dad and my stepmom, and I started having a lot of activity happening, and it seemed to be really surrounding me. This ghost was almost delighted to have me back so he could keep torturing me like he had as a child. And I would hear things like the door, the sliding glass door, open, and it had a very distinctive sound, and I would go to look thinking that maybe they'd come home early from work and there'd be nobody there. And I started bringing this to their attention. I told them I felt there was a ghost in the house and it was making a lot of sounds, and they didn't really acknowledge it too much back then, but later they mentioned that there are times they'll hear noises that they can't explain, and items that maybe get moved, things of that nature. But it really seemed to hone in on me. It really enjoyed getting to me. And I think it's because I'm a sensitive and I was able to feel it. Everybody else couldn't feel it, and it had no need to mess with them.
When you were a child and you were having these experiences, did you even know the term sensitive at that time? What were you thinking of yourself and this ability that you had? What does the 12, 11-year-old version of you think of yourself at that point?
I thought there were ghosts there.
Okay.
I didn't know why I was able to feel them and other people weren't. I don't think my mind really went in that direction. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I was able to feel them and hear them and other people weren't. So I did tamp down on it. I kind of closed myself down probably from 10 until maybe when I was 16 or 17. And that's when I had the paranormal experiences at my dad's house that were more profound. One time I was getting ready for my senior prom and I was in the bathroom and nobody else was in the house. And all of a sudden, it sounded like every shelf in the cabinet behind me crashed. I could hear glass falling, breaking. It was a huge noise. And I thought maybe one of the shelves had given way. So I turned around really quickly and opened the door, and there wasn't a single thing out of place. Everything was exactly precisely where it had been before. And that scared me bad enough that ran out of the house and went and sat in my car, and all I was wearing was my slip. And I sat there staring at the front of that house, and I thought, if one, even so much as the curtain moves, I'm out of here. And finally, I was worried that my date was going to show up and find me sitting in my car in my slip with rollers in my hair. So I finally went back in and got ready, and nothing else happened. But that was a pretty common occurrence.
I want to hear more about the occurrences that, that started to happen basically after that lull between 10 and 16 or so. I want to ask you this, though, because this is something we hear about quite often, where someone is very active or they're very sensitive up to a certain age. It usually kind of tampers down around, pre-teen years. How did you tamper that down, or did it just happen? How did that go, I guess is my question, from being so sensitive to being able to not be as sensitive?
Well, I think I really didn't know what it was. And if I think back to my childhood, I can remember being in places that made me uncomfortable. And I couldn't really explain why I didn't like the way they felt. I just knew that I didn't like being there. So it probably wasn't gone completely. But I didn't have any mentors or anyone around me that had the same kind of experiences, so I had no one to share this information with and get the validation that I needed. So I really wasn't sure what I was feeling. And quite frankly, I probably doubted myself. I probably started thinking that it was my imagination, just like I'd been told.
When you're having that thought process of, this is just my imagination, I mean, how does that flip the switch? How does that turn off the sensitivity? Because to me, I am not as sensitive. And I'm just trying to understand how that would work, where you're seeing shadows move. You're able to sense things around you. Essentially, I understand the idea of going and saying, okay, maybe this is just my imagination. Everyone's telling me it's my imagination. It'll be easier if I just go with that. But how does it just stop? Or does it truly stop? Is it just more of like you kind of becomes white noise and you're kind of ignoring it, but it's there and it's just you're so used to it? Or how explain that to me a little bit.
I think the latter part of what you said is probably more accurate. It had been something that I had felt all my life, so it was nothing new that just started. It had been there since I'd been as old enough to remember any memories. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really understand what it was. I just knew that there were places that I didn't like, sensations that made me frightened when I was in certain locations. And I really couldn't understand why I was feeling. My ears would ring, but I just assumed that was something everybody experienced. I really don't think I really tapped into it or really knew what it was. I did when I was really young. I think I just ended up listening to everybody telling me that it was just my imagination. And I started, it was easier to be that way than to really acknowledge the fact that I was feeling dead people around me.
Sure. And probably easier for them to get by and not coming to the open, easy realization of, oh, our daughter sees dead people. You know, that's not exactly something that I think a lot of parents are just open to as far as an accepting.
Exactly. Because back in those days, I mean, there really wasn't much talk about the paranormal.
Sure.
You know, and if you did hear it, it was usually associated with some crazy person.
Yeah.
So you know, nobody wants to be that.
Sure. Well, so you have the period of time where you're tuned out of it, or it's not affecting you as much as it had been. And then those later teen years start to come and it starts to come back to you. You had mentioned the getting ready for prom. What were some of the other experiences where it really kind of started coming back to you?
It was always centered in that house. I didn't like being there by myself, and the way our schedules worked, I got home from school and was there several hours before they would get home from work. And I found that the upstairs was really still the most scary part for me.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.